In a sidecast for the main Talking About Organizations podcast, I presented several different meanings of efficiency and how the pursuit of each creates different behaviors in organizations, including how organizations measure their own performance and how an organization's preferred model of efficiency may lead to inefficient behaviors of different forms. But that sidecast was largely a theoretical argument against the misuse of the term efficiency. The so what has yet to be answered. What does it take to make an organization more efficient? My name is Tom Galvin, and these are my reflections on management. Now, why I do this subject? This is one of those things where everybody seems to be dealing with budgetary or resource crisis nowadays. The demand for services or goods is increasing, especially if we think about government services. The demand for government services is definitely increasing, while available resources are either not increasing or, at worst, decreasing. In the public sector, you're dealing with national debts and deficits, austerity measures, budgetary crises are just part of the discourse. And if you're a public sector agency, your ability to operate and at what level of service depends heavily on the nation's fiscal situation. Private sector firms are affected by this as well. I mean, in addition to their own competitive pressures to get resources, private sector firms also rely very heavily on the fiscal situation of the nations under which they operate, do they not? Certainly those who depend on government contracts are heavily influenced by the fiscal situation. And any enterprise that is weighing options for locating their businesses or operations are going to consider the incentives and disincentives that are made available by local governments, such as tax breaks or new taxes, which can be punitive in nature, if you will. So there's a lot to think about. I mean, certainly on the public sector side, efficiency, the discussions about efficiency are really important because we're talking about trying to be able to address an increasing demand without necessarily increasing the size of resources. So there's no question that efficiency is an important topic. Now, I want to focus this episode on how to put it into practice such that efforts or activities in order to provide better quality and greater quantity of goods and services avoid some of the pitfalls of pursuing particular modes or models of efficiency. First, what I should do is I should just very briefly restate what I said in the sidecast, because the three modes of efficiency that I talked about in that sidecast were productive efficiency, business efficiency, and allocative efficiency. And just really briefly, business efficiency measures efficiency in terms of the total operations of an organization. Cost over benefit. And essentially, this form of efficiency is good if you're looking at things from a strategic perspective, looking at the totality of the organization as a whole. Is the overall mission being completed? Productive efficiency is a per transaction kind of a basis. So if you can imagine the efficiency of things rolling off the assembly line or the efficiency of the trains running on time, each train ride is a transaction. And then allocative efficiency, the third one, is when you match the precise amount of goods and services that you produce matches exactly the resources that you have. And that allocative efficiency is the primary mode in which we discuss in the public sector because of the fact that the government legislature provides resources and the expectation is that those resources match what the expected government services are going to provide, or if the government agency provides those services at the prescribed level, then it is allocatively efficient. Now, there's an article by a trio of folks from the United Kingdom who offered a really did a good job of laying out the two forms of efficiency that are really germane when we're talking about public sector organizations. Allocative efficiency is one. But the other one that they concern themselves with is something that they call technical efficiency. And technical efficiency, I've seen this contrast between technical efficiency and allocative efficiency in quite a bit of the literature. Technical efficiency is like productive efficiency, but it is different. What it's like is that you measure the provision of a government service or the exercise of a government activity one transaction at a time. It's about the government doing things right. Okay. So when we think about, for example, if your agency responsible for handing out driver's licenses, which I'm sure just about every nation has, so this is not U.S. specific. Think about it in terms of how fast the driver's license can be issued. Possibly hundreds, thousands of people who need driver's license in a given year. And each one of them has an experience of going to the office in order to get their license either initiated, their first license, or to renew them. And so then the technical efficiency is basically how fast and how effectively that the license is provided for each individual. Okay, multiply that by all of the driver's license offices across the country, and then multiply that by all the different government services that are provided on behalf of the citizens. So technical efficiency is a very transaction-oriented. It is similar to productive efficiency in that it is, you know, the private sector firm, what they can produce or what they can provide. But the difference with a public sector organization, of course, is that there is no competitive pressure to be technically efficient. The desire to be technically efficient is done more from pressures either from within or by demands of the citizenry who use their power of the voting box to influence change. So that's technical efficiency. Allocative efficiency is the agency doing the right things. So what I said about a public sector legislature, you know, a government legislature establishes the resources and legal authorities to spend it, generally with no wiggle room. So what we have is a mandate that says what the level of service is and then the resources to do it. If it's allocatively efficient, of course, then the money provided matches precisely the level of service. Now, allocative efficiency is extremely difficult to achieve a priori. I mean, you know, we think about how challenging it is to build, say, a national or a state or a local budget, because there's so much uncertainty involved. However, the process sort of mandates that you have to come up with some sort of a negotiated best solution, which can have, you know, obviously in a government, you're talking about some political influences that come in that kind of shape what you're telling the agencies to do and therefore how much resources they're going to get to do it. When we talk about achieving allocative efficiency, I want to point out that I have seen that term used as in effect that when the agency receives the money, then they spend it all, okay, in order to provide that particular service. So then if there's uncertainty or if things change over the course of the year, then the question comes down to, well, what best do you do if indeed we find out that the budget was wrong? I mean, what then? The user to lose it mentality is one example of where this actually fails, because if you give too much budget to an organization, then what happens? They achieve their mandated level of service and they have some money left over. Well, what are you supposed to do with the money? In a allocative efficiency standpoint, you would expect them to return the money to the Treasury for the purposes of being reallocated to another program that may be short. However, use it or lose it, if you have a culture by which if you're an agency and you think of that money as sort of more or less yours, then you're more likely to find ways of using the excess. Government agencies, by and large, are always feeling strapped. They're under the gun to provide higher quality, but don't always get resources to invest in equipment or facilities to enable that quality. So there, in that particular sense, you get into a question of, well, how is the system supposed to provide for those abilities? When we talk about allocative efficiency in a way, you're kind of getting into the roles and missions of the organization. Because if you don't get the roles and missions of the organization correct, then you're not going to, you know, if you're a legislature, you're not necessarily going to provide the resources aligned with what the organization is supposed to be doing. And then you have mismatches. So now let me talk a little bit about how the language of clamoring for efficiency comes about. I think I can say with a great deal of confidence in my own experience that just about any discussion about efficiency, even when it's claimed to be about allocative efficiency, is really about technical efficiency. And I'll use a term. It's called cost consciousness. And this has been, for example, efforts that orient towards trying to get leaders to be more attuned to how they are spending money. You pay attention to choices made as far as whether or not somebody's going to go on travel or instead do their business via video teleconference. Or do they choose the right hotels or the least expensive lodging, rental car, you know, all of those sorts of things. All of which are supposed to reduce the amount of money spent for an individual going on travel. And then over time, or, you know, you think about how many people in the organization and how many times they go on travel. If it's a large organization, that can accumulate fairly rapidly. It could be tens of thousands, hundreds of thousands, millions of dollars that are in the balance. And everything I just described is technical efficiency. None of that discussion gets into the question of the strategic question of whether or not the individuals need to go on travel. This actually kind of frustrates me a little bit, because when we start thinking about efficiency in technical terms, the tendency is to zero right in on to very specific measurable forms of cost. You're only looking at costs of the type where you actually physically see the transfer of money from one hand to another. The things that you miss, the things that you can overlook, are things like sunk cost, hidden costs. In my sidecast, I specifically said that allocative efficiency ignores hidden costs and ignores opportunity costs. I think that's the same true if you're focusing on technical efficiency. If you make a decision that says that you want to cut down on travel by introducing video teleconference, as a different means of having virtual representation, what's the hidden cost? The hidden cost is actually can be very significant in terms of the ability to effectively meet satisfy the requirements of the meeting, where face-to-face would be far more effective than virtual. And those hidden costs can be very drastic if the end result of the meeting is a misunderstanding that could have been corrected by having everybody physically in the room interacting in person. And this is why sometimes when I've seen organizations, we wind up going back and forth on this, where on the one hand, there's a decision or a determination made that we're spending too much on travel, and we start narrowing down on the technical details of how much we're spending on each travel activity, and not getting back to the big overall question of why are we traveling. We really have to look at the mission of each sub-organization very, very differently. Because if you're in a maintenance organization, and on the one hand, you're trying to be more efficient by centralizing operations, efficient in terms of, you know, less cost on facilities infrastructure, then that incurs higher costs for travel when your maintenance personnel have to go offsite in order to do fixing of things when you go around. If we're going to talk about, you know, what does it mean to try to put efficiency into practice, there are several considerations. The first that I think is the most obvious, which I've just addressed, is the critical importance of having costs measured in terms of both what is tangible and what is intangible. Hidden and opportunity costs, if the model has got to understand hidden and opportunity costs, the pull to technical efficiency, the pull to try to measure things tangibly, is going to mean that you're going to make a decision that looks very much in the short term, like you're going to have some savings. And then there's going to be some bill that is invisible and ignored that's going to come up in the future and basically wipe away anything, any of the savings that were gained. And I've seen this time and again in my experience. There's when you ignore hidden costs, they will come back to bite. So how do you get a system together that consider those? That's perhaps a topic for a future episode. Another is the focus on transaction costs. And I think it's important. One of the reasons why the use it or lose it is such a dominant feature in, say, public sector spending is because of the high transaction costs associated with moving money from one program to another. There, you know, just as government services are increasing, that means that every program feels as though they're under the gun to deliver more with less. And anytime that anybody has an excess, it really, to them, to the agency, it does not feel like an excess. If you're going to come in and say that, well, okay, you've got too much, you know, you don't need this, somebody else needs it more, your immediate reaction is going to be, no, we're going to come up with all kinds of reasons to justify retaining what we have, because we do fear that future budgets would end up being cut because there is so much pressure, so much competitive pressure to put a budget together. The way to overcome this, it's got to be a system that allows transaction costs to be as minimal as possible. And I'm not talking just about the monetary cost of moving money. I'm talking about the political cost, that there is no loss of face, there is no lessening of stature on the basis of moving money from one organization to or one program to another. That's a big cultural change. That's a really hard culture change, because it really gets to understanding, how do we understand control over resources? What does control mean? As we reduce transaction costs and make it easier to move money, we essentially change the control calculus. Well, that's something that takes a little bit of work. You know, we got to think about that. And that also kind of gets into an understanding of what it means to be a fiscal steward. In the public sector, of course, fiscal stewardship is vitally important. It is the basis of establishing trust with the public. And of course, for political reasons or for many other reasons, you know, every decision is going to be scrutinized, and they'll all be controversial, because you'll have people on opposite ends of the political spectrum who will say that you're doing really well or doing really badly with the resources that are granted on the basis of the question of what are the roles and missions of an agency, therefore what is considered to be efficient.
Efficiency is a very, very easy thing to put into practice if you're only narrowly focused on what's tangible. Then yeah, you can make a cut and declare efficiency, declare victory. Very easy. But that doesn't always help in terms of maintaining the health of the organization. It's tough, because we have to tell people that they have to think much longer term and much more in terms of the benefits of the organization, more than just the blind pursuit of efficiency.
And that's all for now. The views expressed are my own and do not necessarily reflect those of the United States Army War College, the United States Army, or the Department of Defense. Thank you for listening, and have a great day.